Close this. All right. Lord, we are just it just every time we just are in amazement of what is part of discipleship and the fact that it isn't something that you just pick up, 8 hours a day or whatever the case may be, but our entire lives being utterly and absolutely dedicated. Lord, you are so amazing in the way that you work and the way you provide and the way that you love to the nth degree that we want to be your disciples. We want to learn your way. We want to be that expression of you to those who are in such need. Lord, bringing shalom to the tohu that we see, that we find because we open our ears and we open our eyes as you, Holy Spirit, make these things known. And it is the only life that is of any value and worth living, to be honoring unto you and to be seeking you in your way. Lord, as we go forward tonight, we pray that there will be that response from each heart that is pleasing unto you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Tonight's episode is called The Dust, and it's episode 2 of season 4. And we'll start with the Shema. And again, every time we recite it, every time it crosses our minds and our hearts, it's not habit in the sense of just something we do as a ritual, but it needs to be the focal reality of the life that we live. And we want to keep that before us as we go forward. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta Adonai Eloheika, Ve'yakol Loveika, Uve Kol Nashefka, Uve Kol Modeka, Ve'ahavta Racha Kamoka, Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the
Love
Lord your
the Lord
God
with your God,
with all your
all your
heart,
heart, all your
with
heart,
all
your
your
soul,
soul, and with all your might,
and love your
love
neighbor,
as
as yourself.
yourself. Amen. Now, just as something, so that I just say it in terms of an encouragement. Of late, it means so much that Laura and I have been reciting the Shema together every morning as we wake up and we hug each other and we start our day in that prayer for the Lord, that it would be expressed that we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and love our neighbor as ourself. So it's just becoming deeper and deeper, more deeply embedded into the very fabric of how we face each day. And so I just it means everything. And in fact, it covers every aspect of the day. Everything that comes our way is faced with that prayer. in our hearts and minds and souls. Okay. All right. If someone would care to read the introduction for us as we continue, then.
A major theme for this study has been the Apostle John's encouragement to walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2:6. We understand this in a metaphorical sense. Of course, since we weren't in Galilee 2,000 plus years ago to take it literally, we aren't able to imitate Jesus's pace and gait, to mirror his arm swings, to follow in his exact footsteps like children walking a path in the snow. We've spent enough time considering the Hebrew ways of thinking to value truth communicated through metaphor, and many translations even phrase this verse as simply, live as Jesus lived. But what if this instruction is less abstract or metaphorical than we assume? In season 3, we discussed how the role of a rabbi was to not only teach the interpretation of the text, but also to model how God's people should put that interpretation into practice. A disciple who followed such an honored teacher would take the yoke that his rabbi taught, learning to teach and obey the text by example. The disciple's role, therefore, was to copy his rabbi's every move. His job was to quite literally walk as the rabbi walked. As we ponder a fuller definition of disciple in today's episode, let's begin to imagine what such walking looks like when Jesus is our rabbi. Does Jesus teach and do, both in scripture and in our lives today? What does it look like to copy him? And how can we stay close enough to him to even answer these questions in the first place? Let's discuss as we prepare to start today's episode.
Okay, so one of the things it's asking us to do here is make a short list of things you recall Jesus doing in scripture. Everything from major events such as feeding 5,000 to seemingly insignificant ones such as eating dinner or sweeping in a boat. And this can be quick, just list things you remember off the top of your head. How do you see the disciples joining or copying Jesus in some of these actions? And what might we take from that? So what are some of the things, as you think about Jesus and what you know of him, what are some of the things that you could list?
He calmed the sea.
He calmed the sea. He walked on water. Just start. Okay. Raised Lazarus from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Talking to his father.
Yes.
He talked to the prayer, that talking, that communication to the father. Absolutely. What are some of the other things?
Breaking bread with the poor.
Yes, he did. He ate with the poor, he ate with the rich. He had discussions with the Pharisees. You know, he talked about scripture. He read scripture. He read it aloud. He studied. What else?
He was tempted.
He was tempted. He faced those temptations. And before he was tempted, what was he? What did he do? Many of us, he was baptized. Yes, he permitted John to baptize him. He walked in desert regions. He was a fisher of men.
He was hungry.
Hungry. He was hungry and thirsty. Absolutely.
He was a fully human.
Fully human. At the same time, fully God. Can you think of any others?
How he dealt with the demons in people. I can't think of what that is,
He
but
cast out the demons. He cast
yeah.
them out. Yep.
Sorry.
Releasing people from that captivity, from that demonic influence. Absolutely. He brought
Awesome.
that. Greg, did I cut you off?
Oh no, I was just saying things to Annette, but there's a lot.
This list is not as short,
Yeah.
but
He served, he washed people's feet, he grew in stature, he fed, he broke bread, he made a new covenant, he spoke in parables, he was kind, he was loving, he taught, he yeah, I mean it just list goes
okay.
on
You got to talk too.
and
Listen.
he got angry, he turned the tables, he had righteous anger, he spoke in synagogues,
And someone else just said he listened.
Listen, yeah. He
Okay, that
forgave. He died
forgave.
for us. He rose for us.
Amen.
He reconciled Peter. He all sorts of things.
Yeah. And then,
Everything.
go ahead.
Thank you.
There was someone else.
I just said everything. He's done everything for us.
Yes.
Everything for us, okay? And then, think about those disciples that were watching all of this. Some of the stuff that Jesus did, they could easily do. Eating, drinking, walking. They went forth, they cast out demons, and they declared the good news. But there's so many other things that Jesus did, what, in the godly sense that they were amazed at. And yet later on, after Jesus went returned to heaven, they were those the disciples were as well doing those miracles. The Holy Spirit through them was doing those miracles in others, raising people from the dead, healing the lepers, healing the sick, casting out the demons. They were doing what Jesus had done. And, there's how did that happen? How did they come into that relationship? So tonight we'll be looking at that, okay? That walking behind Jesus, watching, studying, living the life that Jesus lived. Okay. And the text that covers this evening, 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to be in him must walk as Jesus walked. Okay, and here we go. Thank you, Lord.
The emphasis, of course, in a rabbi-disciple group is on walking as the rabbi walked, as we said, 1 John 2:6, walk as Jesus walked. So it's rabbinic to choose to do something that doesn't seem logical or rational at the moment and say, will you do what I do? Will you do it because I do it? Now, when I lead people to the Middle East, I've tried to practice that in a number of ways. The one that's probably most memorable is to be hiking somewhere in the desert or on the dry land and come to water. And instead of stopping and taking my shoes off and stepping down into the water, I'll just simply walk in. And you think, his feet are wet, his shoes are wet, those are new hiking shoes. Do I really want to do that? And some do and some don't. But the learning moment is, if Jesus is leading, And he chooses to step off the bank into the water, even though it's counterintuitive. I can't say, sorry, Jesus, those are new hiking sandals. I've got to do what he does. If I said to you on the exam, what is a disciple? Give me one of the one words you would give me.
Follower.
Student, okay? Good.
Follower.
Good.
Believer.
Good. Sometimes I've gotten from classes admirer, someone who wants to praise Jesus. Others would say, I want to worship him. I like that, but I think that's too weighted toward the intellectual. I think the best word for disciple is imitator. I like the idea that most of all, you want to be like the teacher, the rabbi, the one you are following. So we need to ask, what is a disciple in Jesus' world? I call it graduate school. Now, please note the quotes. I've never seen anybody else ever called that. It is the final, the upper level. So it's much more limited. I mean, anybody can come and listen to a rabbi, but it would take an unusual person to be qualified to be with a rabbi as his disciple. So the students were often those younger men that demonstrated unusual ability in Beth Midrash, maybe Beth Sefer too, but at least in Beth Midrash. They are knowledgeable of the text. They don't take this rabbi-disciple level of education unless they're committed to the rabbi. You would say, I want more than anything else in the world to be able to interpret scripture the way this rabbi does and to be able to model that scripture interpretation the way he does. I want to be like him. I am committed enough to leave home. I am committed enough to be with him for the rest of my life. So you make a commitment to his yoke, to his interpretation, right from the get-go. They were often itinerant. In fact, I don't know of an example where they weren't. They might be based in one town, but they would travel around from town to town, and their disciples would follow them. So you'd find out, how does the rabbi respond when he meets a leper? How does the rabbi respond when he meets a Gentile? How does the rabbi respond when somebody argues with him about what he's teaching? How does the rabbi earn a living? How does he survive? Because you want to become like him, so you need to see him in real-time action. So you follow him around, which is why the rabbi's invitation was, come follow me. Not come and study with me, not come and listen to me, come and follow me. And follow there didn't simply mean hang out with. Follow me meant walk the way I do, live the way I do. That's what I'm inviting you to do. And that you decided before you joined. And that's why it's so unusual what Judas did in his case. You studied the same as Beth Midrash, the Tanakh and its interpretation. The biggest difference is you were carrying it to much, much deeper and more thorough level. And your goal, like every Jewish goal, was to become the Word in flesh. And they were called Talmid. It's been my practice as we travel in Israel is to, as the bus stops, is to begin the study immediately. So I'll say to the group, come, let's go. And off the bus I go. And people understand that if they get right off and get right behind me, there's going to be teaching that happens along the way. If they stay on the bus or they happen to be at the end of the line, they may not catch that teaching because they're not close enough to hear it. And so I find there's always a few on every group I've taken to Israel who are right behind me. They'll get right behind me because they don't want to miss a thing. And they catch that that's a metaphor of how I ought to follow Jesus. There's something else to that. There are always going to be people who are at the back of the line. partly because some are faster than others, partly just for the logistics of you got to get off the bus. That means it's incumbent on the people in front to make sure they pass along what they were close enough to hear. And I remember having that experience in the Jewish world, that there was much more emphasis on we are a community of students. If I do well and you don't, the community is suffering. So it's in my best interest, not only that I get the information and I understand the information, but that we all do. So if I'm right behind the rabbi and he teaches me something, I want to make sure if you're back in the line a ways that it's passed on to you, because otherwise we've got a whole group that isn't up to speed. So I think, again, it's just an attempt to try and translate that practice of the Eastern rabbi disciple into how I follow Jesus. So here's the definition that I've come up with. A Talmid is a follower of the rabbi, in our case, Jesus, who has, first, intense, or if you like, intentional commitment. Discipleship is not something I think about occasionally if I'm a disciple. It is an absolute intense commitment every single minute of every single day. Always I'm thinking, what is a disciple like in this situation? Second, it's an intense commitment to become. Not to be, but to become. Now, the reason I think that matters is I think it's easy to think someday I'll be a disciple. No, you're a disciple all the time, but you're becoming something. There's a journey involved that you want to be on that never ends. It's a journey. So there's growth. There's have I made progress? There's moments where I slip back and think, ooh, I lost it. I got to rededicate to it. But it's a journey to become like the rabbi. That is, I want to become like him, the word in flesh. And by becoming like the rabbi, I end up partnering in God's mission of bringing shalom to chaos. That's my definition. Let me make a suggestion. And I hesitate to do this always because I don't like to be thought of as judgmental. I've lived in the Jewish world enough to tell you something. In the Christian world, I don't know many disciples. I know an awful lot of saved people. I don't meet many people, starting with the person I look at in the mirror every morning, with that unbelievable fire in their soul to be like the rabbi every single moment of every single day, driven to learn, to study, to stay close to him. I don't meet many Christians like that. We love Jesus, don't get me wrong. And I don't question your salvation. I don't want you to question mine. I am a saved person by the grace of God. That fire, that intensity to want it so badly. How many people you meet like that? So here's the Jewish motto. You may learn it if you wish. It's my favorite. Find a rabbi and follow him. Walk with him. Drink in his words like you're thirsty. And always be covered with the dust of his feet. This is what it's like to walk in the land of Jesus in the dry season. It's just the most flower-like dust you've ever seen in your life. The implication is a disciple followed the rabbi, and a disciple wants to be like the rabbi more than anything else in the world. So you always want to be close enough so that when he kicks up dust, it gets all over you. Stay dusty. Stay close enough to Jesus every moment of every day that his dust is always on you. Stay dusty. You can't become like Jesus without the power of God. What you can do is stay close enough to be covered with his dust. I've picked up on that phrase because that's, I think, a helpful way to think of discipleship. There's so much to discipleship that demands God's involvement. It's His teaching. It's His Spirit that convinces my head and my heart. It's His Spirit that empowers me to be faithful in those moments when I'm faithful. What I can do is to stay close to Him, to be so in contact with His teaching that in a metaphorical sense, His dust covers me. So I say to students a lot, stay dusty. Do it in prayer, do it in Bible study, do it by being with people who choose to follow, but stay close to Jesus. The closer you stay, the more of His dust is on you, meaning the more like Him you will be.
Dust.
So let's recap. First of all, what was RVL's definition of a disciple in this episode?
Imitator.
Imitator. Okay. He gave a very specific definition that incorporates imitator.
Doer.
If you remember the box that he put up on the screen.
Graduate school?
It came out of that graduate school. But when he put up the definition of disciple or Talmud, someone with that intense, intentional commitment to becoming more and more like the rabbi, like Jesus every day, to join in that mission to bring shalom into chaos.
Doer? Okay.
So it's that someone that has that intense commitment to stay with the rabbi, to stay behind the rabbi, to walk behind the rabbi, to imitate the rabbi. And it's every moment, every day of every year of our lives.
So that's the definition of Talmid.
Right. Okay. So, and that's when he said there, you know, that he hasn't seen within the Christian world very many people who are disciples. They're Christians, and you know, but they don't have that intense, passionate commitment to be like Jesus, to becoming like Jesus, their rabbi. And so, you know, it's a challenge in the sense of, you know, where is our commitment? Do we have that? You know, what is this type of a definition? What does it require of a disciple?
Commitment, total commitment.
Total and absolute commitment, dedication, setting aside, you know, our desires for whatever our rabbi would have, you know, always becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, and that was the point that he was making, you know, that we are becoming more and more as we stay close to Jesus. That staying just, last week, he brought in, you know, about the, we spend that time in the Word with Jesus. We got to be with Jesus every day. And we have to spend that time with Him in His Word every day. And we can't go a day without it. We can't go. And it's not just reading one passage, or it's that, you know, what do you mean? And, you know, Lord, what are you telling us in this passage? You're, you know, and then why? that whole aspect of how we approach scripture, seeking the full measure of what God has instilled in the Word made flesh, Jesus. And so we'll never become it. We're never gonna be perfectly like Jesus here, but we want to become that. And so we spend everything that we have is all centered in that. And that goes back, I know I'm kind of preaching at this, but it goes back to what we mentioned at the beginning about the Shema and how that flavors, that determines how our every interaction of the day is conducted with everyone we come in contact with. And that's what a disciple would be. Okay. Anyone else want to add anything to question one, which I've just set before you? All right, well, then we'll go on to question two. While leading study groups abroad, much of RVL's teaching happens while walking to and from historical sites. And for those of you who had the privilege of watching, his previous episode, you'd see that as he was walking to the very, throughout the Holy Land, and he was leading. He was always talking, he was always teaching. And there was that long line of people behind him. And I always felt sorry for the ones, at the back because they were missing out because he wasn't using a megaphone or anything. He was just talking, and then they'd gather around a pool or a bush or whatever, and he'd continue. And those closest in proximity to him could easily more hear the teachings, while those farther behind might not. In this episode, RVL emphasized the importance of staying close enough to the rabbi to catch his words. He also stressed that it's the responsibility of those in front to pass what they hear down the line. It's not only in your best interest for you to hear and understand the information, but to make sure that everyone does as well. What can we learn from these concepts in our walk with Jesus? How can we approach discipleship together as a spiritual community with this in mind?
That's exactly it. A spiritual community. It's not individuals, it's a community.
And that's one of the aspects with this group, this community right here. On Tuesday night, we have the continual prayer that we urge each other on. We have that prayer that we all have that desire to go forward. And whatever way we can be of service to each other to encourage, a greater growth into Jesus and that heart of discipleship, being developed in all of us. Because I don't know of, it is to become, and we've started this journey together to become more and more like Jesus. And so we want to share, and we do so. And that's part of, our discussion. And Laura and I, when we, after a Tuesday night, we'll sit there and we'll just thank the Lord for, the discussions that would take place and the insights that you would bring into it, because it caused us to grow further and go far, things that we hadn't considered, so it's together we're moving forward. And one of the things that Laura mentioned, and it was in line with this, and it was such a blessing, and I've just been thanking the Lord all week about this. And it's not to point out anything other than a thankfulness, but this is being seen on, as an example, on Wednesdays, the women's meeting, there's teaching that goes on, and there is, that growing together. And yet there are some who are slower because, as an example, my mom, who can't hear what's taking place, she doesn't catch everything that's going on. But there are those ladies who, after the meeting, will sit with her. They'll talk, they'll share what was being shared. That's what we're talking about. It's together working, because they know that she didn't catch everything. They're being carefully considerate and kind to make sure that she knows what the meeting was about. That's what this is, this together as a community of disciples going forward. So we thank the Lord for that, and we appreciate it. And I could say the same thing. There have been discussions with brothers that have been in enlightenment and encouragement in areas, as we go forward. I know, just as an example, Greg and I will spend that time when we've been meeting with the pastors, as that opportunity arises, and we just encourage each other. And so I just thank the Lord that our hearts are to help each other in this growth. And it isn't a matter of I'm greater, I'm more spiritual, because we went through that. There was that time in the Jesus movement, and it wasn't supposed to be part of it, but there was a lot of this, this one is more spiritual than that one, and this they because they do this and that and the other thing. And it was this gauging of, where you were in this hierarchy, and it was so disgusting the way it. So thank you, Lord, that I just thank the Lord for the hearts that are part of this group. So, all right, any other comments? Because again, I've done all the talking, but any other comments on question two, and how can we learn these concepts in our walk with Jesus, or what can we learn from how to be a disciple?
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment about how, as we move on in our lives, in our walks, those two words, intense and intentional, become important. So I enjoy sports, I enjoy movies, but when we live a life that's intentional and we start to look forward to Tuesday nights, and we start to look forward to Sunday mornings, and we start to look forward to getting up in the morning early before everybody else is up and reading God's word and praying together. And just like I love going to the movies, I look forward to it. And I love going to watch a basketball game, I look forward to it. Well, as we get more intentional about what our lives are about, which is about being a disciple and becoming like Jesus, it flows. I don't want to use the word naturally, because it's supernaturally. It flows that we enjoy these things, we look forward to them. We have to be intentional and make these decisions that we're going to do this. I have to be to work at a certain time. Well, if I want to spend time with the Lord, I have to get up at a certain time in order to do that before I go to work. And I'm very intentional about going to work, so I need to be intentional about my relationship with God as well. And I think that is part of this discipleship. It's that intentionality, but also that intensity.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then another part of that you bring up, and that I have found, it's starting the day in the Word, starting the day in prayer, before work, before
Right.
everything else. because I find after the day is drug on, you don't have that same, I don't want to say commitment, because there is still that schma that hits you right in the face and just carries you forward. But it's just to start the day in the with the Lord is so wonderful and refreshing, and it gives you what you need for the day. And then at the end of the day, when you're tired and you're worn out, there's that opportunity to just say thank you, Lord, for how you, and you can count off how he has manifested himself throughout the day with this one and that one and in this situation. And you just can re it becomes more of that opportunity to just give him that thanksgiving that he took charge of the day as it unfolded. So it's kind of like two different aspects to the beginning and end of the day, but they're still with Jesus. They're still with him. So thank you, Kip.
Yes.
Any other before we go on? And that intensity and that intentionality, absolutely vital. What was the Jewish motto, RVL quotes in this episode, and what does it mean to stay dusty, and what might this look like in the context of following Jesus? You remember the motto that he quoted at the end? If not, it's find a rabbi and follow him, walk with him, drink in his words like you're thirsty, and always be covered with the dust of his feet. That's okay. So,
Find a rabbi means Jesus himself, yeah.
yes. In the context of what we're dealing with, it's absolutely Jesus. It's no one else but Jesus.
Just say that one more time, Ted. His motto.
Okay. I
Find a
forgot.
rabbi and follow him.
It down. Okay. Find a rep, and remember, this was a motto. That's what that he was quoting. Find a rabbi and follow him. And in our case, that's Jesus. Walk with him, drink in his words like you're thirsty, and always be covered with the dust of his feet.
Stay dusty.
Stay dusty. Okay.
And dusty.
So what might this look like in the context of following Jesus?
Stay close. Follow his
Well,
words.
okay. Obey. Yeah.
Imitate.
Imitate. You have scripture, spending the time in scripture, spending the time in prayer, spending the time with other Christians in fellowship together. Bible study, whether it's corporate Bible study or whether it's individual Bible study, because there's a difference. There is a difference in reading the word and studying the word. There's two ways of, and both of them are needed. Both of them. You need to read it, where you're just asking the Holy Spirit to open it. And then there's that study, that intense study where every word just takes on a powerful meaning, and at times, and it's just like, why did he say this in this, why did he use this word rather than this word? It's just it's a anyway.
If we're going to follow him, we need to be willing to go where he went, to go where he goes. And he goes to dirty places. He goes to the lowly. He goes to the weak. He goes to the mumser.
Yes, he absolutely does. He goes to those who are the outcasts, those who are in need. And that's where the whole aspect of us hearing that Zedekah that surrounds us, he hears it. And do we hear it? Do we hear those cries of those people who are in desperate situations and desperate need of comfort, of healing, of companionship, of whatever is necessary? So there's another aspect to this, and for those, I hope all of you spend time with the next section, you know, the last section of the study, the PPSs that he has, because in this one, I'm going to call your attention to it. Okay. He makes a comment in it that RVL challenges his students to read one gospel per month, every month. That averages out to less than one chapter a day. The longest gospel is Matthew, and it has only 28 chapters. Do this every month for 3 years, he encourages, and see what it does to you. You cannot spend that much time with Jesus without being changed. Because think about what the Gospels contain. They are the words of Jesus. It's spending that time. And that doesn't mean you don't read other parts of the Bible. If you're on, you know, if you're reading the Old Testament, the New Testament, that's all. But to read a chapter a month, not a chapter, but a gospel a month, on a rotation, every 4 months, you're going back through, and you're spending that time with Jesus's teaching, his specific teaching, not what the commentator said, not what, you know, this or that, but you're spending that time with Jesus in his word as he has spoken it. And RVL says it will change your whole perspective because you're spending that time specifically with your rabbi. And I have taken that. I am planning to do that, and not just for 3 years, but I think that's if I want to know Jesus, I want to know Jesus's word and his teaching. And so, Lord willing, that will be, you know, a path that I'm going to be treading for the dust of Jesus to be all over me. Staying just one aspect of that, staying close to him, along with the Shema. So it's a challenge. And whether, you know, what goes on in your heart is between you and the rabbi. Anyone else want to share anything before we? Okay. Someone want to read to wrap it up for us then?
So far in this study, we have examined many attributes of a disciple. A disciple is someone who joins God's story, who throws his or her stone as part of the mission to bring shalom to chaos. A disciple is someone who takes seriously the idea of being God's Salem, his image to a broken world. A disciple is someone with prots, intense, 110% passion to share the gospel of the kingdom And of course, a disciple is someone who follows the teaching and example of a rabbi. Now let's tie all these attributes together into one coherent definition. A disciple is someone with intense, intentional commitment to becoming more and more like Jesus every day. Can you see how this fits into the foundation we've established thus far? How God prepared his people over history to follow him in this way? A disciple's commitment is one that lasts a lifetime. We don't attain a certain level and simply stop. We are committing to a process that will never end, at least on this side of eternity. As we discussed in session 3, Jesus lived an ordinary human life so that he could show us what it looks like. He is the Word in flesh, the living embodiment of all the attributes we have studied throughout our time together. It is only if we are willing to follow his example, to walk as he walked, that we can truly call ourselves his disciples. We must take this idea literally, following Jesus not only in our hearts, but also in every aspect of our lives. As we continue our study of how discipleship worked in Jesus's day, let's keep this definition at the forefront of our minds. Pay attention to how it played out in the lives of the 12 disciples, and consider how it ought to change the way we approach our faith today.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for this study. We thank you for the members of this group sharing together, working together, encouraging each other on in that which is unto you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. Lord, you know what it means. You know what it takes. You are the one who has brought us to this place of decision unto you. A life that is not lived for us, but is lived in your dust, staying close to you, walking with you, talking with you, listening to you, Lord, imitating you, bringing you everywhere we go, in every situation, every interaction, Lord, that which is of you and of you alone. That is the prayer that is on our hearts and in our mouths, and Lord, that we are committed to. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hello.
Hi, Joy.